The Abbey Reads presents Philadelphia, Here I Come by Brian Friel.
Star, your tea?
Right, Mudge.
Philadelphia, here I come. Where I started from.
Is your father not coming?
Come on, Madge. What about an old-time waltz?
Oh, will you leave me alone?
Where bows of flowers bloom
stop
in the
it,
spring.
Stop it. You brought you.
Oh, Madge, you dance like an angel. Oh, but you'd give a fella bad thoughts very quick.
The smell of fish off you, you dirty thing.
Will you miss me?
Watch the teapot.
The truth.
Ah, will you quit it, will you?
I'll tickle you till you squeal for mercy.
Please, God.
Will you miss me,
I said? Will I.
That's better. Now tell me, what time is it?
Can't you see it's 7:10? And
well, what time do I knock off at?
At 7.
Which means that on my last day with him, he got 10 minutes overtime out of my hide. Instead of saying to me, Garrett, my son, my only child, since you are leaving me forever, you may have the entire day free. What does he do? Lines up 5 packs of flour and says, make them into 2-pound pokes.
He's losing a treasure, indeed.
So you know what I said to him? I just drew myself up and looked him straight in the eye and said to him, 2-pound pokes it'll be. Just like that.
That flattened them.
And that wasn't all.
Back away into your room and clean yourself up.
At 6 o'clock, he remembered about the bloody pollock and him in the middle of the Angelus. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, gut and salt them fish. So be God, I lash so much salt on those bloody fish that any poor bugger that eats them will die of thirst.
Likely enough.
Corpses are strewn all over Ballybeg. Where will you be? In the little old USA.
Philadelphia, here I come. Right back where I started from. It's all over.
And it's all about to begin. It's all over.
And all about to begin.
Just think, Gar.
Think.
Think. Up in that big bugger of a jet, with its snout pointing straight for the States.
Mm-hmm.
And its tail belching smoke over Ireland. And away down below, you see a bloody bugger of an Irish boat out fishing for bloody pollock. And abandon ship, make for the lifeboats, send for Canon Mick O'Byrne. To hell with women and children, and say an act of contrition.
Yippee!
It looks as if I can't see very well from the distance. Yes, the brown shop coat is being peeled off and rolled into a ball and placed on the floor. And yes, the free is being taken by dashing Gar O'Donnell, pride of the Ballybeg team. O'Donnell is now moving back, taking a slow, calculating look at the goal. I've never seen this boy in the brilliant form he's in today. Absolute magic in his feet. He's now in position, running up. A really beautiful kick for that brown shop coat.
Philadelphia, here I come. Right back where I started from. Boom, 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 boom.
Gareth Mary O'Donnell.
Sir?
You are fully conscious of all the consequences of your decision?
Yes, sir.
Of leaving the land of your birth, the land of the curlew and the snipe, the Erin sweater and the Irish sweepstakes.
I've considered all these things, sir.
Of going to a profane, irreligious, pagan country of gross materialism?
I am fully sensitive to this, sir.
Where the devil himself holds sway and lust, abhorrent lust, is everywhere shamelessly indulged in. Shamelessly?
Who are you telling? Shamelessly, sir. Shamelessly.
And yet you persist in exposing yourself to these frightful dangers.
I would submit, sir, that these stories are slightly exaggerated, sir. For every door that opens...
Oh, in God's name, are you out of your mind? Standing saluting a blank wall. Get out of my road, will you? And quit idioting about.
No, what's that?
The travelling keys you were looking about.
And Madge, you're an old duck.
Aye, so. And there's a piece of rope, for I see the clasps all rusted. And there's your shirts and your winter vests and your heavy socks. Oh, you need to air them shirts before you... don't put your smelly hands on them.
Sorry?
See that they're well aired before you put them on. I think that's everything. He said nothing since, I suppose?
Not a word.
The bugger.
But he hasn't paid you your week's wages?
£3.15. Ah. That'll carry me far.
He'll have something to say then, you'll see. And maybe he'll slip you a couple of extra pounds.
Whether he says goodbye to me or not, Madge, and whether he slips me a few miserable quid or not, it's a matter of total indifference to me.
Aye, so. Your tea's on the table. But that's a matter of total indifference to me.
Well, give me time to wash, will you?
And another thing. Just because he doesn't say much doesn't mean he hasn't feelings, like the rest of us.
Say much? He said nothing.
He said nothing either when your mother died. It must have been near daybreak when he got asleep last night. I could hear his bed creaking.
Well, to hell with him.
Don't come into your tea smelling like a lobster pot.
If he wants to speak to me, he knows where to find me. But I'm damned if I'm going to speak to him first. And you can tell him I said that, if you like.
What the hell do you care about him? Screwballs, skinflint, skittery face. You're free of him in a stinking bloody shop. And tomorrow morning, boy, when the little old plane gets up into the skies, you stick your head out the window and spit down the lot of them.
Yar!
Let the bugger call.
Yar!
Aye?
How many calls of barbed wire come in the mail van this evening?
Two. Or was it three?
That's what I'm asking you. But it was you that carried them into the yard.
There were two. No, three. Yes, three. Oh. Or maybe it was, how many's out there now?
Huh? What's the use of...
What sort of a stupid bugger are you? Think, man. You went out and stood yarning to Joe the Post. Then you carried one coil of barbed wire into the yard and came out with a sack of spuds for the parochial. Then you carried in the second coil and put it in the corner and came out again to the van and... what the hell odds? That's his headache, old Nicodemus. After tomorrow, a bloody roll of barbed wire will be a mere bagatelle to you.
Yeah, man. See them thar planes stretching as far as I can see? Well, them thar planes belongs to Gary the Kid. And Gary the Kid, he don't go in for none of your fancy fencing. No siree.
And what'll you wear in the plane tomorrow, Rooster, eh? Pretty smart, eh?
Pretty smart.
Pretty sharp.
Pretty sharp.
Pretty ooh-la-la.
May we?
Not a bad looker, if I may say so.
You may.
I am Patrick Palanakis, president of the biggest chain of the biggest hotels in the world. We're glad to have you, Mr. O'Donnell.
And I'm glad to be here, sir.
Said, young man, I hope you'll be happy with us and work hard. And one day, maybe you'll be president of the biggest chain of the biggest hotels in the world.
That's my ambition, sir.
You are 25 years of age, Mr. O'Donnell?
Correct.
And you spent 1 year at University College Dublin?
Yes, sir.
Would you care to tell me why you abandoned your academic career, Mr. O'Donnell?
Well, just before I sat my first arts exam, sir, I did an old Irish tullus, or pilgrimage, where I spent several nights in devout prayer, sir.
St. Patrick's Pilgrimage on Loch...
St. Harold's Cross, sir. And it was there that I came to realise that a life of scholarship was not for me. So I returned to my father's business.
Yeah, you mentioned that your father was a businessman. What's his line?
Well, sir, he has what you would call his finger in many pies. Retail, mostly. General dry goods, assorted patent drugs, hardware, dehydrated fish, men's king-size hose, snuffs from the exotic east of Donegal, a confection for gourmets known as Peggy's Leg, a weed killer. Yee-hoo! It's now 16 or 17 years since I saw the Queen of France, then the Dauphiness at Versailles.
Well, let's get packing, boy. Let's get that little old saddlebag opened up and let's get packing. But first, let's have a little old music on the little old phonograph. Yeah, man, you bet. I reckon. Yes, sir.
The main item in tonight's concert is the first movement of the violin concerto in E minor, Opus 64 by Jakob Ludwig Felix Mendelssohn. The orchestra is conducted by Gareth O'Donnell, and the soloist is the ballet-bag halfback, Gareth O'Donnell. Music critics throughout the world claim that O'Donnell's simultaneous singing and wielding of baton and bow is the greatest thing since Leather Ass died. Mendelssohn's violin concerto, first movement.
Oh, come on. Let's out fooling. To work, old rooster, to work. Time to get the case packed. Oh, hell. How can any bloody bugger head into a swank jet plane with an old cardboard case like this? Damn it, maybe you could give it a lick of paint. Or wash it. Watch. For God's sake. You'll rub a hole in the damn thing if you're not careful. Maybe our screwballs will slip you a fiver tonight. Get a new one in Dublin.
What a hope.
Stinks of cat's pee. What's this on the bottom?
The Clarion. January the 1st, 1937.
Precious medieval manuscript. My God. Was it? My God, it was. The day they were married. And the case hasn't been opened since their honeymoon.
She and old Screwballs off in a sidecar to Bundoran for 3 days.
Oh, God, the creator and redeemer of all the faithful, gift of the soul of Moira, my mother, the remission of all her sins, that she may obtain...
She was small, Madge says, and wild and young, Madge says, from a place called Balchifree beyond the mountains. And her eyes were bright, and her hair was loose. And she carried her shoes under her arm until she came to the edge of the village, Madge says. And then she put them on.
Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her.
She was 19, and he was 40. And he owned a shop, and he wore a soft hat. And she thought he was the grandest gentleman that ever lived, Madge says. And he couldn't take his eyes off her, Madge says.
Oh, God. Oh, God, the creator and redeemer of all the faithful.
And sometimes in that first year when she was pregnant with you, Laddie Buck, the young girls from Balchifree would come in here to dress up on their way to a dance, Madge says. And her face would light up too, Madge says. And he must have known, old Screwballs. He must have known, Madge says. For many a night he must have heard her crying herself to sleep. Maybe it was good of God to take her away 3 days after you were born. Damn you anyhow, you bugger, you, for a stupid bloody bastard. It is now 16 or 17 years since I saw the Queen of France. What the hell with that bloody mushy fiddler?
Philadelphia, here I come.
Watch yourself, nuthead. If you let yourself slip that way, you might find
right back where I started from.
That's the style, boy. Another record. Something lively. Something bloody animal. A bit of the owl. Pumpity-tump. And you just keep a-talking to yourself, mister. Because once you stop a-talking to yourself, I reckon then you just begin to think kind of crazy things.
Yippee! Yes! Hell of a crowd here tonight, eh? Ooh, yoo-hoo! You're looking powerful. Great!
Remember, that was Katie's tune. You needn't pretend you've forgotten. And to remind you the night the two of you made all the plans, and you thought your heart would burst with happiness.
Come on, a dirty big swing.
Are you going to take a photo with you to the States, eh? When are you going to say goodbye to her, eh? Will you write to her? You send her cards and photographs. You loved her once, a rooster. You wanted so much to marry her that it was a bloody sickness. Tell me, Randy boy, tell me the truth. Have you got over that sickness? Do you still love her? Do you still lust after her? Well, do you, do you, do you, do you?
Bugger!
Shh. There's a photograph on the dressing table. Go on, man. Look at it.
Kate. Sweet Katie Dugan. My darling Kathy Dugan.
Owl bitch. Rotten owl snobby bitch. Just like her stinking rotten father and mother. A bugger and a buggeress. A buggeroo and a buggerette.
No. No. My fault. All my fault.
Babe. God, that was a night, boy, eh? By God, you made a right bloody cow's ass of yourself. Remember, when was it, eh? 10 months ago. You just come back from a walk out the mill road. The Perry had the whole thing planned. Engaged at Christmas, married at Easter, and 14 of a family. 7 boys and 7 girls.
Cripes, you make me laugh. You bloody well make me die laughing.
You were going to develop the hardware lines, and she was going to take charge of the drapery. The drapery! The fishy socks and the shoebox of cotton spools and rusted needles. And you had to ask Screwballs for a rise in pay, in view of your increased responsibilities. And you were so far gone that night, Laddie Buck, so bloody well astray in the head with love, that you went and blabbed about your secret egg deals that nobody knew anything about, not even Madge. Stupid bloody git. Oh, my God. How you stick yourself, I'll never know.
Kate. Kathy, I'm mad about you. I'll never last till Easter. I'll bloody well burst.
Oh, God.
Steady, boy, steady. You know what the canon says about long, passionate kisses in lonely places?
Oh, our daughters will all be gentle and frail and silly, like you, Kate. And our sons, they'll be thick, bloody louts, sexy goats like me. And, my God, I'll beat the tar out of them.
But £3.15, Gar, we could never live on that. Gar, listen, be sensible. How will we live?
How will we live?
Like lords. Free house, free light, free fuel, free groceries. And every night at 7 when we close. Except Saturday. He stays open till damn near midnight on Saturdays, making out bloody bills. And sure, God in the world knows that sending out bills here is as hopeless as peeing against the wind.
Gar, no matter what you say, we just couldn't live on that much money. It's not possible. We'll need to have more security than that.
And maybe he'll die tonight of galloping consumption.
Requiescat in pace.
Gar!
What's troubling you? Kiss me.
Please, this is serious.
Please, this is serious.
Oh, what?
You'll have to see about getting more money.
Of course I'll see about getting more money. Haven't I told you I'm going to ask for a rise?
But will he...
Look, don't you worry. I'll get it. I have him in the palm of my hand, and damn well he knows it. What sort of a man do you think I am?
God.
And another thing. I have a source of income that he knows nothing about, that nobody knows anything about.
Investments?
Well, sort of. You know, when I go around the country in the lorry every Tuesday and Thursday?
Yes.
Well, I buy eggs direct from the farms and sell them privately to McLaughlin's Hotel. For a handsome profit, of course. But he knows nothing about it.
How much do you make?
Oh, it varies, depending on the time of year and all that.
Roughly?
Oh, anything from 12 and 6 to a pound.
Every Tuesday and Thursday?
Every month. God, Kate, I can't even wait till Christmas. Well, I can't. I'll have to get married sooner. Next month, next week.
Now, now, laddie buck. Steady, steady.
Kate. My sweet Katie. My darling Kathy.
We'll go now. Right away and tell them.
Who? What?
Mommy and Daddy, that we're going to get married. They're at home tonight. Come on, quickly. It must be now, Gar, now.
God, Kathy, look at the cut of me. The shoes, the old trousers.
What matter? It must be now, Gar, now.
What'll I say?
That you want their permission to marry me next week.
Oh, God, they'll wipe the bloody floor with me.
Come on.
Oh, God. My legs are trembling, Kathy.
You two. Anybody at home? Mommy? Daddy?
Take, ma'am, take. Mr. Dugan. Senator Dugan. I want to ask your permission.
Yoo-hoo!
Oh, my God. Mrs. Dugan, Kate and I have to get married right away. Cripes, no.
Where is everybody? Yoo-hoo!
If only the boys could see you now.
Don't look so miserable. Come here.
Kathy, maybe we should wait until next Sunday.
Remember, it's up to you. Entirely up to you.
That you, Kate?
You've £20 a week and £5,000 in the bank, and your father's about to retire from business. Just Gar and I, Daddy.
Hello, Gareth. You're a stranger.
Speak, you dummy.
Where's Mummy?
She's watching TV. Come to the study, Gareth. Have a seat. Take off your coat. And how are things with you?
Mr. Dugan...
Go on.
I won't be staying long.
Francis arrived when you were out, Kate. It took a few days off, decided to come north.
Cripes.
He's here now.
Inside with your mother. Ask them to join us, will you?
You talk to Daddy, Gar.
God, I will.
You've met Sir Francis King, haven't you, Gareth?
Yes.
King of the bloody fairies.
We don't want to raise Kate's hopes unduly, but strictly between ourselves, there's a good chance that he'll get the new dispensary job here.
Kate's hopes?
Didn't she tell you? No, I can see she didn't. Of course, there's nothing official yet, not even what you might call an understanding. But if this post does fall into his lap, well, her mother and I... Let's say we're living in hopes. A fine boy, Francis. We've known the King's since way back. As a matter of fact, his father and I were class fellows at school.
Oh, cripes, man.
And then later at university, when he did medicine and I did law, we knocked about quite a bit.
Oh, God. Don't bet you. Cripes, you look a right fool standing there.
The father of 14 children. With your two bloody arms to one bloody length. Get out, you idiot, you get out. Get out quick before the others come in and die laughing at you. And all the times you must have known, the old bitch. The lying old bitch. And you promised to give her breakfast and bed every morning. And you told her about the egg money.
And how's your father, Gareth?
He's talking to you, tick skull.
What's that?
Your father, how is he?
Oh, he's grand, thanks.
Get out, get out.
Look, Mr. Dugan, if you'll excuse me, I think I'd better move on.
Aren't you waiting for supper? The others will be along in a moment.
No, I must run. I've got to make up half a hundredweight of sugar bags.
Oh, brilliant.
Say goodbye to...
Certainly. Oh, Gareth, Kate is our only child, Gareth, and her happiness is all that is important to us.
Give the woman in the bed more porter.
What I'm trying to say is that any decision she makes will be her own.
Give the man beside her water. Give the woman in the bed more porter.
Just in case you should think that her mother and I were... In case you might have the idea.
Goodbye, Mr. Dugan.
Good night, Gareth. Goodbye.
Where's Gar?
He didn't seem anxious to stay.
But didn't he? Did he?
No, he didn't.
And that was it. Mrs. Dr. Francis King, September 8th, in Harvest Sunshine. Red carpet and white lilies. And Sean Horgan singing, Bless this house, O Lord, I pray. And him whipped off to Sligo jail 2 days later for stealing slits from a builder's yard. Honeymoon in Mallorca. And you couldn't have afforded to take her to Malahide. Oh, Gar, I thought it was a sore blow to the old prestige, eh? Between ourselves, I was on, in the privacy of the bedroom. Between you, me, and the wall, as the fella says. Has it left a deep scar on the old skitter of a soul, eh? What I mean to say, like, you took it sort of bad. Between you, me, and the wall, as the fella says.
Philadelphia, here I come, right back.
Ah, but then there's more fish in the sea, as the fella says. And all the same when they're upside down. And between you, me, and the wall, the first thing you would have had to do would have been to give the boot to Daddy Senator. And I'm thinking, Gar El Rooster, that wouldn't have made you his pet son-in-law. Mr. Fair Play, Senator Dugan. Her happiness is all that is important to us. You know, of course, that he carries one of those wee black cards in the inside pocket of his jacket, privately printed for him. I am a Catholic. In case of accident, send for a bishop. And you know, too, that in his spare time he travels for maternity corsets. And that he's a double spy for the Knights and the Masons. And that he takes pornographic photographs of Mrs. B and sends them anonymously to reverent mothers. And when you think of a bugger like that, you want to get down on your knees and thank God for El Screwballs. So you're going to America in the morning, son?
Yes, father.
Nothing like it to broaden the mind. Man, I'd love to travel. But there's some it doesn't agree with. Like me there.
In what way, father?
The bowels, son. Let me move an inch from the house here and they stall.
No.
Like the time I went to Loch Derg, way back in 35. Not a budge. The bare feet were nothing to the agonies I went through. I was bound up for a full 2 weeks afterwards.
It taught you a lesson.
Didn't it just? Now I wouldn't even think of travelling.
Anchored by the ass.
Bound by the bowels.
Tethered by the toilet. Tragic.
Go ahead. That's right. Look at yourself in the mirror. Not bad. Not bad at all. And well preserved for a 25-year-old father of 14 illegitimate children.
Hi, gorgeous. You live in my block?
Yeah, big handsome boy. Sure do.
Mind if I walk you past the incinerator to the elevator?
Oh, you're welcome, slick operator.
What do you say, little chick? You and me, you know. I'll spell it out for you if you like.
Oh, you say the cutest things, big handsome boy.
A malted milk at the corner drugstore?
Wow.
A movie at the downtown drive-in?
Wow, wow.
Two hamburgers, two Cokes, two slices of blueberry pie?
Wow, wow, wow.
And then, in my apartment.
Gee, Mary, Aunt G, will you quit them antics?
Well, you should knock before you enter a man's room.
Man,
I bothered you every Saturday night till you were a big lout of 13. Your tea's cold waiting.
How's I to know that?
A shaman I horse calling you. Oh, dear, but you're in for a cooling when you go across. Boss!
Boss!
Boss! Oh, I forgot to tell you. Nellie had a wee baby this morning.
Go on.
Wee girl. £7.04.
How many's that you have now?
4 grandnieces, 3 grandnephews, and they're going to call this one Mad. Well, at least so she says.
I'll send it an elephant out of my first wages. An elephant for wee Madge.
You know, I had a feeling it'd be a wee girl this time. Maybe I'll take a run over next Sunday and square the place up for her. Ah, she could do with some help with 7 of them.
You're a brick, Marge.
Aye, so. Come down now and eat. That's the second pot of tea I've had to make. Wee Marge, maybe.
Now, what are you sad about? Just because she lives for those Mulhern children and gives them whatever few happen she has. Marge. Marge, I think I love you more than anyone. Give me a piece of your courage, Madge.
I'm ready when you are, Madge.
It's there for you.
And here comes your pleasure, your little ray of sunshine. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the one and only, the inimitable, the irrepressible, the irresistible County Councillor, S.B. O'Donnell. And this time, Marie Celeste is wearing a cheeky little hat by Pamela of Park Avenue, eminently suitable for cocktail parties, morning coffee, or just casual shopping. It is of brown Viennese felt, and contrasts boldly with the attractive beach ensemble created by Simon, the pert little black apron which is detachable, and underneath we have the tapered Italian line slacks in ocelot. The shirt is of sailcloth and prefabricated lamé, and is executed in bold russet stripes, and the daring masculine tie-knot gives a tomboy, devil-may-care effect. I would draw your attention to the large collar stud, which is highly decorative, and can be purchased separately at our boutique. We call this seductive outfit Indiscretion. It can be worn 6 days a week, in or out of bed. Have a seat, screwballs. Thank you. Remove the hat and say grace.
Bless us, O Lord, and these I give for some.
Aye. Thank you. Perfectly trained. The most obedient father I ever had. And now for our nightly lesson in the English language. Repeat slowly after me. Another day over.
Another day over.
Good. Next phrase. I suppose we can't complain?
I suppose we can't complain.
Not bad. Now for a little free conversation. But no obscenities, Father dear. The child is only 25. Remember? Well, come on. Where's that old rapier wit of yours? The toast of the Ballybeg coffee houses.
Did you set the rat trap in the store?
Aye.
Isn't he right? Oh, my God, that father of yours just kills me. But wait. Shh.
I didn't find as many about the year.
Oh, God, priceless. I didn't find as many about the year. Did you ever hear the beat of that? Wonderful, beautiful, divine. Oh, but isn't he informed tonight? But isn't he? You know, it's not every night that jewels like that, pearls of wisdom on rodent reproduction, drop from those lips. But hold it. Ah, out come the false teeth. That's what we've been waiting for. Complete informality. Total relaxation between intimates. Now we can carry on. Screwballs. I'm addressing you, Screwballs.
Aye.
Thank you. Screwballs. We've eaten together like this for the past 20-odd years. And never once in all that time have you made as much as one unpredictable remark. Now, even though you refuse to acknowledge the fact, Screwballs, I'm leaving. I'm leaving you forever. I'm going to Philadelphia to work in a hotel. And you know why I'm going, Screwball, don't you? Because I am 25, and you treat me as if I were 5. I can't even order a dozen loaves without getting your permission. Because you pay me less than you pay Madge. But worse, far worse than that, Screwballs. Because we embarrass one another. If one of us were to say, "You're looking tired, but that's a bad cough you have," the other would fall over backwards with embarrassment. So tonight, do you know what I want you to do? I want you to make one unpredictable remark. And even though I'll still be on that plane tomorrow morning, I'll have doubts. Maybe I should have stuck it out. Maybe the old codger did have feelings. Maybe I've maligned the old bastard. So now, Screwballs, say, "Once upon a time, a rainbow ended in our garden." Say, "I'd like to walk across the White Strand when there's a misty rain falling." Say, "Garson." Say, "Gar, you bugger, you. Why don't you stick it out here with me for... It's not such a bad old bugger of a place. Go on. Say it. Say it. Say it."
True enough.
What's that?
I didn't find as many about the year.
Madge! Madge!
Oh, there's no need to roar like that.
Well, the bread's done. We need more bread.
Well, you know where it's kept, don't you?
Now what's wrong?
Can we have more bread, Madge, please?
Pity you lost the power of your legs.
Oh, I'll get it myself. It doesn't matter.
Give me that plate. Chatting in this place would deafen a body. Won't the house be quiet enough? Long enough?
Tick-tock. It's now 16 or 17 years since I saw the Queen of France, then the Dauphiness of Versailles. Go on. What's the next line?
I suppose you were looking for your pay.
I earned it.
I'm not saying you didn't. Yeah, there you are. You needn't count it. It's all there.
I didn't say I was going to count it, did I?
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
More tea?
So you know I never take a second cup.
So you know I never take a second cup. Okay. It's better this way, old Screwballs, isn't it? You can't teach new tricks to two old dogs like us. In the meantime, there's a little matter I'd like to discuss with you, Screwballs. It's nothing really. Just something I'm rather hesitant to bring up, but I'm advised by the very best church authorities. You'll only be too glad to discuss it with your son.
Here you are.
Thanks, Madge.
If you want any more, you can get it yourselves. You know where it's kept.
Where were we? Oh, yes. Our little talk. The white paper on the mores of the rural male population of Ireland. What I was about to say, Screwballs, is that I'm beginning to wonder, to suspect... You see, the point is, I'm afraid I think I'm a sex maniac. No, please, don't say anything. And please, don't stop eating. No, just let me talk a bit more. Communicate with someone. Pour out the pent-up feelings into a sympathetic ear. So all I ask for the moment is that you listen. Just listen to me. As I said, I suspect that I'm an SM. But I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one, Screwballs. Oh, indeed, I'm not. And all the boys around, some of them far worse than I am. Why? Why do I think that we're all SMs? Huh? Well, because none of us is married. And because we've never done boasting about the number of hot curts we know. And the point is, we're all virgins. Because... Shh. Someone's coming. Not a word to anybody. This is our secret, eh? Scout honor.
Oh, good night, Master Boyle. How you doing, Master?
Oh, Sean, Gar. No, don't stir. only dropped in for a second.
Well, sit over and join us.
No, I'm not stopping.
Ah, here's a seat for you. I was about to go to the shop anyway to square up a bit.
Don't let me hold you back.
I'll be in again before you leave, Master.
Of course, if you have work to do.
Ignorant bastard. On his way to the pub, huh? Oh, God, but he's a sorry wreck, too. Arrogant and pathetic. And yet, whatever it is about you.
Well, tomorrow morning, isn't it?
7:15. I'm getting the mail van to the station.
Now you're doing the right thing, of course. You never regret it. Gather, it's a vast, restless place. Doesn't give a curse about the past. And that's the way things should be. Impermanence and anonymity offers great attractions. You've heard about the latest to-do.
What was that, Master?
Now, don't you pretend to me, Gar.
Another row at the cannon? I really hadn't heard.
The point is, he can't sack me. The organisation's behind me and he can't budge me still. It's a bit of victory to hold on to a job when your manager wants rid of you.
Sure, everyone knows the kind of the cannon, Master.
Didn't tell you, did they? I may be going out there myself.
Poor bastard.
Been offered a big post in Boston. Head of education in a reputable university there. Aye, they've given me 3 months to think it over. What are you going to do?
Work in an hotel.
Ah, you have a job waiting for you?
In Philadelphia.
Yeah, you do all right. You're young and strong and of average intelligence.
Good old Boyle. Get the dig in.
Ah, yes, it was as ugly and as squalid as all the other to-dos before the whole school, the priest and the teacher. Dedicated moulders of the mind. You going to stay with friends?
With Aunt Lizzie.
Oh, of course, uh-huh.
Go on, try him.
You knew her, didn't you, Master?
Yes. Oh, I knew all the Gallagher girls. Lizzie and Una, Rose and Agnes.
And Myrna, my mother. Did you love her?
Long, long time ago, in the past. He comes in to see your father every night, doesn't he?
Oh, the cannon? Oh, it's usually much later than this.
I think so much about him that I feel a peculiar attachment for him. Funny, isn't it? Do you remember the Christmas you sent me the pack of cigarettes? Huh? And the day you brought me a pot of jam to the digs. It was you, wasn't it?
Poor Boyle.
All children are born with generosity. 3 months they gave me to make up my mind.
I remember very well.
By the way, a little book to remind you of your old teacher. My collected poems.
Thank you very much.
I had them printed privately last month. Some of them are a bit mawkish, but you'll not notice any distinction.
I'm very grateful, Master.
Now, I'm not going to give you advice, Gareth. Now, is that clock right? Not that you'd heed it if I did. You're always obstinate.
Same old Boyle, eh?
But I would suggest that you strike out on your own. As soon as you find your feet out there. Now, don't keep looking back over your shoulder. Be 100% American.
I'll do that.
Yes, sir, there's an inscription there on the flyleaf. By the way, could you lend me 10 shillings until... I was going to say until next week, but you'll be gone by then.
Oh, surely, surely.
Yeah, I seem to have come out without my wallet.
Give him a quid.
There you are.
Aye, thanks. Uh-huh. Well, I'll move on now. Oh, yes, I knew all the Gallagher girls from Baltifree long, long ago. Myra, Una, Rose, Lizzie and Agnes. Myra, your mother.
You might have been my father.
There was another thing I meant to ask you, Gareth. Should you come across any newspapers or magazines that might be interested in an occasional poem, perhaps you'd send me some addresses.
I'll keep an eye out.
It's not that I write as much as I should. You know how you get caught up in things. But you have your packing to do. And I'm talking too much as usual. Aye, good luck, Garrett.
Thanks, Master.
And forget Ballybeg. and Ireland.
It's easier said.
Perhaps you write me?
Indeed I will.
First year, maybe the second. Okay, I'll miss you, Garrett.
For God's sake, get a grip on yourself, Al Rooster.
Thanks for the book and for...
And you'll remember me, Garrett?
Of course, Master. Yeah. I'll remember.
Stop it.
Well, goodbye now.
Master.
Lord, the speed of him out through the scullery. Has tongue out a mile for a drink.
Quick, into your room.
Well, God knows, I don't blame the canon for wanting rid of
that. Why don't you shut up?
Well, the manners about this place.
Remember, you're still going. 7:15, you're still going. He's nothing but a drunken old schoolmaster. A conceited, arrogant owl washout.
Oh God, the creator and redeemer of all the faithful.
Get a grip on yourself. Don't be a damn sentimental fool. Philadelphia, here I come.
Myra and Una and Rose and Agnes and Myra.
Yes, sir, you're going to cut a bit of a dash in them there states. Great big sexy dames and nightclubs and high living and films and dances.
Oh,
and
Kathy, my own darling.
Where bowers of flowers bloom in the spring.
I can't.
Each morning at dawning birdies sing and everything a sun kiss miss says. Don't be late, sing up man. That's why I can hardly wait.
Philadelphia, here I come.
That's it, laddie boy. Philadelphia, here I come.